Find your Bibles and open them with me this morning to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. We're going to move all the way through chapter 2 this morning, which will put us exactly halfway through our study of the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. You'll recall the Apostle Paul is writing a letter. We call the letter the book of Colossians. He's writing this letter from a prison in Rome to the new church in a small town called Colossae. The people in this congregation, this small church, are new believers. They haven't been following the Lord very long, and they were ripe picking for some sophisticated, impressive, well-spoken, false teachers who have come through, and they're confusing these new believers in Colossae. So Paul is writing this letter to kind of confront these weird doctrines that are being taught and help get these new Christians rooted in truth. We're going to entitle our message this morning, Rooted in Substance. We must always remember to keep Christ at the center of our worship and our walk and our lives. Now, some of you have been asking me, what were the false doctrines that were being taught? We're going to get a chance to look at those this morning here in this second chapter. Begin with me here in chapter 2, verse 16. Paul writes, "Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food." There's a hint. "In regard to food and drink, or in the matter of festival, or a new moon on a Sabbath day. Those are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on aesthetic practices and the worship of angels." There you go. "Claiming access to a visionary realm and inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. He doesn't hold on to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, develops with growth from God. If you died with Christ to the elemental forces of this world, why do you live as if you're still belonging to the world? Why do you submit to regulations saying, don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? All these regulations refer to what is destroyed by being used up. They're all human commands and doctrines. Although these have been regulation of wisdom by promoting aesthetic practices, humility, and severe treatment of the body, as they are not of any value against fleshly indulgence." Well, in every generation, there are always false teachings, false doctrines, false beliefs that must be confronted and refuted. I serve as a trustee on a board up in Dallas that manages several million dollars for Criswell College and a couple of other smaller schools. Most of the trustees on the board are financial managers, like some of you here this morning. Four of us, three pastors and a seminary professor, are responsible for making sure that the board remains theologically grounded. This last week, we were hammering out a statement of faith that everyone on the board will have to sign. And this week, we were focused on refuting some contemporary teachings, some contemporary beliefs, some contemporary false doctrines, just like Paul's doing here in the Scripture. So it's a pretty common thing. Every now and then we have to kind of stop and recognize, no, that's a false doctrine. That's a false teaching. And identify it as such and bring forth truth. That's what the Apostle Paul is doing in our passage today. So let's begin by considering Christ as the heart of our worship. Remember, we're talking about being rooted in substance. Substance as opposed to form. Substance as opposed to superficial. Substance as opposed to window dressing. So as we think about being rooted in substance, we're going to begin with the heart of our worship. Everything else is superfluous. Everything else is superficial. Christ alone is the substance of our worship. This has always been a struggle for Christ followers. We've always struggled with the form rather than the substance. With the passing of time in every generation, we've always been tempted to allow the form to become the main thing rather than focusing on the main thing, which is Christ Jesus. That's the issue they were facing in Colossae. Concerning food, which is certainly superficial, and drink, window dressing, and religious festivals, and on which days we should worship, Paul says in verse 17, these are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. The substance of worship, in other words, is Christ Jesus. As long as we hold Jesus at the center of our worship, as long as we're focused on pleasing Him, as long as we're focused on worshiping Him, as long as we're focused on honoring Him, all the other things can change. The rest of the things don't really matter. Jesus, worshiping Jesus, is what matters. It did then. It does today. It does today. When I preached at the installation service of an African-American pastor down in East Austin, I just want to tell you, it was a lot different. It was a lot different. They dressed a little different than we dress. Their music service, a little bit different than ours. For one thing, it lasted almost an hour. It lasted 50 minutes. By the time I stood to preach, I got to tell you, I was already worn out. The choir made their way out of the choir loft, and the deacons stood up, and they made their way into the choir loft. So that as I began to preach and gain some momentum, the people affirmed me. You guys don't do that. This became a dialogue, but especially from the deacons. The deacons would talk to me while I was preaching. They would even come up behind me and pat me on the shoulder. I got to tell you, initially it was kind of a, whoa. But then I realized these men were supporting me and affirming me. The form was way different. We're still worshiping Jesus. One of my trips to Beirut, when I preached there in a little church up in the hills above Beirut, many of you who are out there now came with me, and you were there this morning. As we began the worship service, the men sat over here. No women allowed. The women sat over here on the left side. No men allowed. The men all wore suits and ties, even if they were very old and worn out suits and ties. The women had to cover their heads. And by the way, those of you who were there, you know, our women came in, they didn't have anything to cover their heads, so they were given doilies. And the women all covered their heads. The music was old hymns. And the minister of music, as he led the music, led the singing, it was, I don't know what you'd call it, it was firm tempo. Bump, 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 bump. And he leaned over the pulpit like he was leading a marching band, and he looked angry. as, you know, you better sing right or I'm coming out of this pulpit. That was kind of the look. But that was all form. We still worshiped Jesus. Jesus was the center of that. When I preached in a little church up in the hills in Arrieta, Romania, very little music at all. Again, men all wore suits. The women all wore dresses. No pantsuits there. I'm telling you, dresses. The men sat over here in kind of like bleachers, facing the women over here. The women were also sitting in kind of like bleachers, facing the men. No one in the middle. Not much music at all. But for a good 40 minutes, they prayed. And I mean, they would just stand and pray. They would just stand up and they shouted their prayers. Shouted their prayers. And everybody else would affirm them. They'd pray and everybody else talking right along with them. They'd sit down and be silent. And someone else would stand and pray, shouting their prayers. And everybody would affirm them while they were praying. That went on for like 40 minutes. You didn't dare stand and preach until all that was over with. When that was over with, and it was kind of quiet, then I got nudged, and it was time for me to stand and preach. And as I stood and preached, men over here facing the women, women over here facing the men, they all had to kind of do this to listen to me. They had to kind of turn. You know, they were sitting in these bleachers. They all had to kind of turn and listen to me. And it looked to me like I was calling their mother a bad name. Very stern looks on their faces. But that was all form. Because we worship Jesus. Here in Austin this morning, all different kinds of form, all different kinds of window dressing. Here in our own facility, we've had two different, very distinct forms of music and praise. But now we all come together and we're all going to worship the same Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? The substance is Jesus. The form can change. The substance is always Jesus. You see what he says there in the 17th verse? He says, all the other stuff there is form. 17th verse, these are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. The substance is the Messiah. Here's another thing I want to point out while we're talking about worship. Christ alone is the passion of our worship. Over in chapter 3, we're not there yet, verse 23, Paul says, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men. You serve the Lord Christ. Get excited about this. Get juiced about this. Get pumped about this. I want to tell you something. We Southern Baptists aren't joyful enough. We're too doggone reverent. We're too reverent. Need to be a little bit more joyful. And see, somebody's going to say, well, I've always taught to be reverent. That's form. That's not substance. We ought to balance this out a little bit more, don't you think? We can be reverent at the same time, be joyful. Do you agree with this? All right. I'm going to take that as an endorsement. I'm going to keep wearing jeans. Had to kind of walk into that, but I got your approval now. All right. Rooted in substance is where we are this morning. Next, let's focus on Christ as the head of the church. Here in verse 18, Paul talks about some of the bizarre practices of these false teachers. All I have time to do is touch on these. Things like extreme self-denial of their bodies. He kind of touches on this in two places in our passage. In other words, they were teaching that you needed to mistreat your body, starve your body, beat your body with whips if you wanted to be a devout Christian. Also, these false teachers were teaching that they should attempt to communicate with angels during their worship. Not necessarily to worship the angels, but to get the angels to cooperate with us as we worship. If we didn't do that, we weren't grade A Christians. And then a third thing he mentions here is we need to have these these supernatural visions of heavenly realms. Everybody felt pressured. They needed to have these fantastic visions if they wanted to be grade A, number one, top shelf Christians. We have some of those same sorts of things today. I'm not going to have time to get into all of them this morning, but there's a steady stream of things that we're told we need to do if we want to be top shelf Christians. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to do that. People everywhere doing that, and we kind of come under that pressure too. Paul's saying, no. He's telling these folks in Colossae and us not to be confused by those kinds of things, but instead to just stay focused, to keep Christ at the head of our lives. That's it. That's it. Jesus tells us it's all rather simple. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, all we have to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Forget about all that other bizarre stuff. We don't need to be involved in that. And then by extension, it's just as simple for us to follow the Lord as a church. We don't need all those complicated doctrines. We just need to make sure to keep Christ as the head of our church. In chapter 1, verse 18, we've already looked at this. He, Jesus, Paul says, is also the head of the body, the church. The imagery here is Jesus as the only head, we as a unified body. Then in our passage this morning, chapter 2, verse 19, he says, hold on to the head, means Jesus, from whom the whole body, that's us, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, develops with growth from God. He kind of expands on this idea over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. He says, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, that's us, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body. The emphasis here is upon Christ as our only head, we as his body, unified, working, functioning as one. Anything that attempts to disrupt that arrangement is not of God. We are in the process, as a congregation, as a church, First Baptist Church, Pflugerville, we are in the process now of giving birth to two new congregations, two new churches. The one most ready to strike out on their own is New Jerusalem Baptist Church, which is an Hispanic congregation, which meets over in our fellowship hall on Sunday afternoon. They've been over there for about 4 years. As we leave here, very often you can see their cars beginning to assemble over there. They meet in our fellowship hall. Hispanic congregation, Alvaro Herrera is the pastor. They have been preparing for this now for quite some time. They have bought some land out in Manor. They've bought a double-wide trailer. And by the way, these are big sacrifices for these people. It took a big deal for them to buy these things. They've remodeled that double-wide. They've put new furniture in it. They've carpeted it. They've painted it. They've got new plumbing in it, new lighting, new heating and air conditioning. The only thing they're lacking is a septic system, which is very expensive in Travis County, but they've been working on that, and they're getting that done right now. Right now. They are just weeks away from striking out on their own and becoming their own congregation. They're so very grateful to us for our help and our assistance in that work. Two Sundays ago, while Pastor Rivera was preaching, a man stood up right in the middle of the congregation. He says, I'm out of here. I'm through with this. And he walked. He said, come on. And 15 of those 40 people left with him. Split that congregation almost right down the middle. I just want to say to you, that is not of God. That is a divisive spirit. That's not one body. That's not honoring Jesus as the head. That's honoring man as the head. They're devastated. They're devastated. Let's be in prayer for Alvaro Herrera and the remaining 25 or 30 as they've been delivered a terrible blow in their efforts to reach out to the people in Maynard. Here's my point. Christ Jesus is the only head of our church, and we are his body, unified in Christ Jesus as our head. Nothing should ever attempt to divide us. Nothing should ever cause friction among us. If we do, like they were having in Colossae, if we do, it is not of God. Paul's saying, church at Colossae, you worship in substance, not in form. Church in Colossae, you're under the only head, which is Jesus, and you stay unified. First Baptist Church, Pflugerville, you stay unified. Christ Jesus is our head. We are his unified body. Amen? Rooted in substance. Finally, let's focus on Christ as the hope of our lives. You see, as a result of getting their worship all upside down and forgetting that Christ alone was the head of their lives, not all these weird doctrines, as a result of that, they'd also gotten their hope for life all messed up. While writing to the churches of Colossae, while writing to the churches of Galatia, Paul said this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what Paul is saying was the hope we have in Christ Jesus is that of dying in him. When we die to self, we have hope for life in Christ Jesus. That's where our hope comes from. Here in Colossae, they've gotten that all upside down. This little church in Colossae, he writes this in chapter 2, verse 20. If you died with Christ to the elemental forces of this world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? In other words, when we don't die to self, we lose our hope in Christ. He's saying, folks in Colossae, this is real simple. You die to self so Christ can live in you. If you're not willing to die to self and all those weird leaderships, you can't have hope in Christ. You know, I've talked to so many people over the years, and I think I've got my finger on this. I think one of the reasons we struggle with dying to self is we're afraid to let go of the world. You know? We were born into the world. We've been raised in the world. We have friends there in the culture. And we're kind of afraid if we totally let go, if we totally sell out to Christ, we'll never be able to return out there. And that's kind of a scary thing. Linda and I have been binge-watching Band of Brothers again. For those of you who don't know what that is, let me just quickly. It's a series of stories, 8 or 9 or 10 maybe, based on eyewitness accounts of the Easy Company, 101st Airborne, that parachuted in on Normandy on D-Day, and several of these men have survived, and they're telling the story. So Band of Brothers takes them from their first jumping into that situation all the way through to they're the ones that went in and occupied Hitler's retreat at the very end of the war. So it's this story of these men. Well, in one scene, a terrified young soldier named Private Bly confesses to Lieutenant Spears that he had hidden in a ditch on D-Day. He landed, and rather than fighting and taking part, he had hidden in a ditch there at Normandy. And Lieutenant Spears says, and I quote, "You know why you hid in that ditch, Bly?" Bly answers, "Because I was scared." Lieutenant Spears says, "We're all scared. You hid in that ditch because you think you still might live. But Bly, the only hope you have is to accept the fact you're already dead. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner you'll be able to function the way a soldier is supposed to function." You see, we can't hang on to that. We can't hide in the ditch thinking we still may cling to some of that. We, you and I, we've died already. We're dead already. We've died in Christ Jesus. We're never returning to any of that. That's all behind us. That's all history to us. That's nothing to us. We have died in Christ. Nevertheless, what? We live. But not us, but who? Christ lives in us. And Paul's saying to the church of Colossae, all that stuff you're hanging on to, all those weird doctrines you're hanging on to, all those things those men are teaching you, all those things that you're embracing because of culture, you're still thinking you're going to return to that. You're not going to return to that. You're dead. Christ lives in you now. Here's the thing, First Baptist Church, Pflugerville. The only hope we have is in Christ. There is no other hope. We die to that. We cut the strings. We cut the cord. We're never returning to that. We die in Christ so that Christ can live in us. Church at Colossae, church at Pflugerville, we're dead in Christ so that he can live in us. Amen? Pray with me.